Are you ready to discover how to maximize your marriage, family, and life while growing your business? Well, welcome to Love Plus Money, the show where we show you how to succeed in business while thriving in family, health, and legacy. Welcome, welcome, everybody. Andrew Devlin here, Devlin Worldwide. And today, I want to dive into a subject called Your Hero's Journey. And I was on a client call this week, and this sort of really hit home for my client. They're going through a very, very difficult time and one of the most challenging times of their life. And so this got us on some interesting subjects. So I thought I'd share it with you, because if you're out there, do you feel like sometimes there's like overwhelming odds against you, whether it's in business or marriage or kids or health or parents, and it's just like, I don't know how I'm going to solve this problem. And it feels like it's taking absolutely everything that you've got, maybe not to break down, maybe trying to find a way forward, and it just looks like there's dead ends. So those times come, that's for sure. And I don't know if you guys have watched it, but there's a show out there called Masters of Air on Paramount, and it's about World War II bomber pilots, American World War II bomber pilots. And when I first saw this, it excited me because I just read The Bomber Mafia by Malcolm Gladwell, and he talked about the psychology between the American bomber pilots and the English bomber pilots. And again, I could do a whole talk just on that because it was absolutely fascinating. But American bombers basically bombed in daylight. They were going to do precision bombing, and the English bombed at night, and they just obliterated. They just dropped as many bombs as possible. But because of that mindset, the American bombers got absolutely decimated. They just lost so many pilots. They were accurate, but they lost so many pilots because obviously the enemy could see them. But I was following this series, and I just finished it. And there was a guy in there, and his nickname was Rosie. And Rosie was probably early 20s, and he was a great pilot. Like he had two engines down, and he's lost the group because his plane's slower than everybody else's, and the Messerschmitts are all around him, and he's able to defend the plane and get back. And so it was an amazing, he got like his crew respected him immensely because they knew they were dead, and then he pulled out some amazing maneuvers. But he got back, and back then, they had to do 12 missions. And once they did 12 missions, they were sent back to America. They'd served their time because it was so dangerous if you lasted 12. And as Rosie got back, they upped it to 20. And they said, we're not going to do it for you because you agreed to 12. Well, you can go home. And he goes away and thinks, and he comes back. He's like, I can't let the newbies come and try and do 20. They're dead. He says, I'm going to stay. So he volunteered to stay on in World War II when he could have gone home. And he was shot down on one of his missions behind enemy lines. And he got back, and he got right back in the plane and then went out like the next day. And it really struck me because my grandparents, I lived in a town where we were a hotspot because we built ships and submarines and all that. So we're a military town. And so my town got blasted. And I remember hearing a story of my grandfather going, hey, we're going out to my grandmother. We're going out tonight and we're going out for a meal. And my grandmother's like, no, we can't afford it. And he's like, get your glad rags on, which means your nice clothes back in England, or at least it did in the olden days. And he said, we're going out. So they went out, air raid sirens go off while they're in the restaurant, bombs are dropped, comes back, crater in the ground where their house was. And I go, wow, could you imagine that, like, you know, in the middle of, you know, you're trying to have a nice meal, bombs going off, you don't know if you're going to get blown up or not, but you go back and your house is gone. But that was just the beginning of their story. They just got married. And I was like, coming through that, there's so much resilience in our ancestors. And so watching this Master Vizier program, World War II stuff makes me emotional because I look in and it's like that hero generation that, you know, did the things that needed to be done, Winston Churchill, and if you've seen the movie Darkest Hour, that's another phenomenal one. I never realized how many people were against Winston Churchill. The whole, you know, Parliament was against him, the King was against him, and he had these just unsurmountable odds against him. And you see, you know, in the movie where he's crying at night in his room in the dark. And that's not the picture I get from Winston Churchill, the bulldog of Britain, you know. But that was behind the scenes. And we all go through these moments where we feel lost. And so going back to that TV series, I watched the last one. And obviously the war ends and they all get sent home. But then they talk about the different people, like the real people, and that the actors were representing. And he talked about Rosie, and he lived to like in his 80s. And I was struck, like, I just heard about this brief chapter, a couple of years of his story. And he had a whole other life. A lot of those guys went on to the Korean War, the Vietnam War, and, you know, that was their story. So we all have these moments where we're faced with something. And if you guys are familiar with the hero's journey, this is like every single script that you've ever, like, I don't know about you, but I've realized that this hero's journey is every movie I like. And it starts off with the status quo, or status quo, whichever way you want to say it. And, you know, whether it's Star Wars and there's Luke Skywalker and he's on his desert planet and, you know, he doesn't really like farming, or if it's Neo in Matrix and he's doing his computer job but he's not happy with it, or it's Frodo and being called out of the Shire, you know, and he looks obviously up to his uncle. And I realized they are Rocky. I realized it's pretty much the same storyline with different characters, but there's something about that hero's journey that grabs us. So there's a status quo, and then there's a call to adventure. Rocky gets the call to fight Apollo Creed. Frodo meets Gandalf, you know, Luke Skywalker, you know, meets Obi-Wan Kenobi and all of this stuff. So there's a call to an adventure. And then there's generally a refusal of the call. Neo does not believe he's the one. Does he take the red pill or the blue pill? You know, Frodo doesn't believe he can do it, you know. And so there's this call to adventure. There's a refusal of the call. And then they meet the mentor. And you can see, again, that's Gandalf, that's Obi-Wan Kenobi, that's Morpheus, you know, and it's Mickey from Rocky, you know, they meet the mentor. And then they do the departure, that's step four, you know, so then they go off on the journey. And then number six is they get tested. They get allies and they get enemies. Number seven is the approach to the next test. And then number eight is the ordeal. Number nine is the reward. Number 10 is the return back to where you started. And then there's a new life. And then there's a resolution. And that's, when everything's set, it's good. You know, the Ewoks are dancing around. You know, the Death Star's being exploded. You know, Rocky, you know, doesn't quite win the first one, but he does win the second one. Spoiler alert. But I've realized that this is the hero's journey of pretty much every epic story, and we gravitate towards it because it's so human and we see ourselves in the story. And what blew me away again was thinking about Rosie, and his story wasn't over at the end of World War II. It was just a blip, you know. And my client's story, going through the toughest time they've ever been through, isn't the end of their story, isn't the end of your story. It's just part of a story. And if you, like, this is what I realized. Rosie never, I guarantee, never thought as he's flying his bombers, one day there's going to be a TV show made about me. And how I act today is going to inspire people, make people cry, give people hope. And I thought, how many times do we actually stop and go, this is going to be made into a movie or a TV show or a book, or somebody's going to be telling my story. How do I want to behave right now? do I want this to be my comeback? Or do I want this to be a part of me being lost and going deeper into despair? And it's tough because when we're in it, that's all we can see. But I like to just think about, it could be your kids telling your story about, to your grandkids or your great grandkids, and your grandkids are telling your story. And it's like, what do you want people to remember? Because once we're gone, my wife was at her aunt's funeral yesterday, and, they tell stories. But once we're gone, that's the end of the story. And we're not in charge of what that story is anymore. And we're not in charge of who tells that story. But we are right now of crafting a beautiful story. And I don't know about you, but when I see Rocky and Mickey's died and I'm like, oh, he's lost, and Apollo Creed, new mentor, comes around him, and you're rooting for him to start believing in himself, or it's Neo or it's Frodo. And it's like, come on, you're so close. Don't give up. And we root for those people because we see something in them, because so many times we're ready to give up. But we're one step away, one thought, one action away from going in that next level. So where are you in that hero's journey? And if somebody was going to record this and somebody was going to make it a movie, what would you want this season to represent? Would you want it to inspire people? Or would you want to shrink? Would you want to withdraw? Because we're all part of that. And going over it with my client, The Lion King is the story that hit them really hard. And they're like, holy crap, I'm living the Lion King. And, the premise of the Lion King is, Simba is meant for leadership. He's meant for greatness. Yet he's lied to and deceived by somebody that he trusted and called family. And that family member brought him down, made him feel inadequate, made him feel guilty, made him feel like he was the problem. And Simba runs away. And he's hiding. And instead of being a lion, Simba becomes friends with lion food. And those friends tell him to ignore and forget about the world. And just eat bugs. That's not lion food. It's not what a lion's created to do. And then Nala, I've got kids, I've watched Lion King 1,000 times, comes in and she finds him and she says, hey, it's you. You look like your dad, where have you been? Come on home. And he refuses. There's that hero's journey again, refusing the call. But eventually he goes back because he gets mentored by his dad, and he goes back and he sees the damage that this family member that lied to him, that made him believe less of himself, that took him out of the game, what he's done. And it's so damaging. And there's going to be people in our lives that their goal is maybe not to destroy, but maybe just to feel significant by making you feel insignificant. I told this to my kids last week. I was like, if I wanted the biggest building in St. George, what's the fastest way of me getting that? And my kids were like, building a bigger building. And I said, no, destroying everything else, leveling the city. So my two-story house is the biggest building in town. And a lot of times that's what people do. They don't want to see you win. They don't want to see you fulfill your giftings. And there's some people out there that just want to see you suffer, even if you're related to them. Because you winning shows them something about themselves that they want to see. And so my client's scar in their life really, really did a number and made my client believe things that were not true about them. And it's the discovering of who they are, doing things that they love to do again, and then building up that belief and that confidence. And it's like, if you leave metal out, it's going to get rusted. And you've probably seen those coins that, those old coins, and they just look like a big lump of brown goop. And then people clean them up and you're like, wow, that's silver, that's gold underneath there. That is absolutely beautiful. And that's what my client's going through right now. They're restoring their brilliance of who they really are and getting away from that, not believing in the lies of Scar. And so it was so funny because they're like, I can't believe I'm going to have to watch The Lion King again because it's so appropriate to my life right now. But then you can see when Simba actually steps into that role that they were created for, then the pride lands blossom. Everything around them, the other animals, the prairie, the grass, all, or savannah, should I say, all blossoms under the right leadership. So I'm here to tell you, there's going to be people in here that are going to try and rust your soul, that are going to try and corrode you, take you out of action just so they don't feel bad. Because when you've got people in your life that want significance, they're going to try and make you feel insignificant so they feel more significant. And I'm here to tell you, you don't need those people in your life. Now, it could be family. And this is what I tell people. Like, there's some family are not healthy to be around. And if that's the case, that's a decision to make for yourself. Because I believe, like, who we're around the most is who we become. And if you've tried for years to see if somebody like that person, it could be a friend, could be a coworker, could be a boss, but you feel less than when you're around them, you may need to do some deep diving. If you do need that, that's what I'm here for. You know, if you need to figure some stuff out, that's what I'm here for. But to be with somebody that causes damage psychologically or physically, you know, and again, there's, you know, we've all heard of post-traumatic stress disorder, you know, and that's when a event happens and we can visualize it. It's like, yeah, I was almost killed. You know, my buddy was killed. You know, there's an event. But complex post-traumatic stress disorder is like micro tears. There's no one thing. It's just this like daily onslaught of negativity. You can't put your finger on it, but it can do a lot of damage. That's one of the hardest things to overcome, because if it's the event, one event, you can work through that. But if it's like 1,000 mini events, you know, 10,000 mini events, it's really difficult to pinpoint. And so that's when, you know, I've got certain, you know, techniques I've learned over, I've got, about 25,000 hours of one-on-one coaching at this point. But there's techniques that we can use to help move through this complex post-traumatic stress disorder stuff. And it's fun to see my clients start coming alive. And this week, it was great to see my client get that belief back in themselves. Get that, like, hey, that's it. I'm Simba. I'm going to go and restore the pride lands. I'm going to go and be who I'm created to be. And I'm going to let go of all this corrosion that I've allowed this other person to put on me. So where are you in your hero's journey? Do you need that mentor? Or are you going against your biggest challenge? You know, one of my clients, he said, I'll never forget, you asked me, am I open to another mentor in my life? And it did absolutely. He grew phenomenally from working with me. And it's amazing because I really do believe in my clients. And that's the fun part. So if that's you and you want to dive in a little bit deeper, reach out. Contact us, and it'd be great to set up a call and see where you're at. And then something I want to remind you of is, how many times in your life have you had a problem that you thought there was no answer to? You didn't know how to figure it out. You didn't know what you were going to do. And so I want you to think about it, because if you're like me, there's a lot of those. There's a lot of, like, I've no clue. I'm no clue I'm going to pay the mortgage. I'm no clue I'm going to come off out of this accident. You know, I spent about 8 months relearning how to walk again from an accident. And at the time, I didn't know how I was going to come through it. And at this point, I've broken or ripped or dislocated many parts of my body. But there's all that, like, am I going to come back from this? I don't know how to do it. Or it's a business thing. You're like, I don't know how I'm going to do this. Or there's a marriage challenge or a problem challenge with the kids. And you're like, I have no clue. I do not feel equipped to deal with this. And so I want you to just think, have you come across that once in your life? Or is it 5 times, 10 times, 20 times, 100 times? Like, how many times have you solved a problem that you did not have any answers for when that problem first materialized? And if you're like me, and I guarantee you are, there's a lot. There's a lot of problems that you have solved that you did not know how to solve. So I want to remind you, you are a master problem solver. You have overcome so many obstacles in your past. And stop acting like the problems in your life right now are the first problems that you've come against. It is not true. Because if you own that identity as a master problem solver, I have solved so many problems that I had no answers for, but I've solved every single one because I'm here, I'm surviving, I'm thriving, and I'm growing. And what I've realized is a lot of times, if we were following this hero's journey and there is no ordeal, there's no challenge, there's no enemies, it wouldn't be a hero's journey. So I'm going to encourage you, what if these people in your world, these challenges that have come into your life, are here for you, not against you? They're here to grow you so that you can become the Jedi, or you can become the one in the Matrix, or you can get back and control that Savannah. And you know, what if they're all for you, not against you? Because I don't ever like this, but I grow so much more from challenge than I do from success. And that's the hard part, because we all like the success part, but we all grow from the challenge part. And you've probably heard me say this before, but if you want to double your success, you got to triple your failure. And if you've got a belief that failure is bad, you're going to struggle. But if you've got a belief that failure is the best teacher, and if you want to fail, successful people fail quickly and cheaply. Most people fail slowly and expensively. You know, they're failing with their diet slowly every day, and it's going to be an expensive cost from a healthcare standpoint. Or they're slowly failing in the marriage, and it'll be expensive. Let's fail fast, learn from it, adapt, change, because we just see it as this. You can be a winner and a loser in life. That's the way I saw life for many, many years. I believed I was on the loser category and there was winners, and I wasn't one of them. But now I see that there's winners and learners. And I'm going to learn, and I'm going to win, and I'm going to grow. I'm going to become overwhelmed, and I'm going to doubt myself, and I'm going to grow again, and it's going to take me to that next level. But we're not here for easy. So you're a master problem solver. And that's one of the vital parts that we need to remember. And if you're in that middle part, that overwhelming part, that that adversity part, this is where the audience cheers. This is where they get inspired. And I want you to think about that. The audience is watching you. What would change? If you knew this was going to be made into a book, what would change? So you will find a way through. You will find a way through this because you're on a hero's journey. And if you're listening to this, you could be watching Netflix. You could be doing something else. You could be mindlessly entertaining yourself. But if you're listening to this, I guarantee you're in that hero category because you're wanting an even better life. And you may need to be that hero for your marriage. You may need to be that hero for your kids. You might even need to be that hero for yourself. Because if you're like me, there wasn't the people that I needed around me at the darkest moments, and I needed to be the hero for myself. I decided I'm going to be like the world's greatest dad to myself. And what that means is when my son's done something, I'm like, good job, mate. Well done. We had a challenge last week, and he had to call and apologize to someone. And I remember just sitting down with him. He was crying, and I just sat down and I said, I am so proud of you, of how you've handled this. I love the fact that you feel remorse. And I love that the fact that you can see that your behavior, again, if you're a parent out there, correct the behavior, don't correct the kid. It's not you messed up. It's not that you are angry. It's like, hey, your behavior isn't suited. You're behaving with a lot of anger today. Correct the behavior. It's a huge difference. And so we talked, we hugged, he cried. We had a great night, and I'm proud of his character. And I told him that. And I was like, that's what I'm going to give myself. I'm going to talk to myself like a loving father. It's like, hey, well done. You stepped up today, buddy. I know it didn't work out the way you wanted, but congratulations on keeping a great attitude and doing the work. I'm proud of you. And so I'm here to give you permission to be proud of yourself, to talk to yourself in an encouraging way. And I see so many people, they talk to themselves in a way that if they talk to the kids like that, it would be damaging to the child. Stop trying to beat yourself up to try and get you to work harder. Give yourself the gift of encouraging yourself, being kind to yourself, and then going for big things, knowing that there's going to be ups and downs and roller coasters, but you are on the hero's journey because you called for something greater. That's my hunch right now, that if you're listening to this, there's something inside of you that says, I'm meant for more. I'm meant to grow. I'm meant to do something in this world. And if that's you, let's chat. Let's see how we can help you grow even faster, smoother, and have more fun. So thanks for listening today. It's an absolute honor to serve you. If you like this, give us a review. And if you don't like this, let me know what you'd like. But thanks again for being on today, and I appreciate you all. Have a great week, and I will speak to you next time. All right, Andrew Devlin, signing out. Bye.
Thanks for riding shotgun with us on another episode of Love Plus Money. We trust you're leaving with meaningful insights. If today's episode fueled your hunger for success and fulfillment in all areas of life, don't hold back. Hit that subscribe button, give us your rating, and lay down your thoughts in a review. Your feedback powers our mission to equip high achievers like you with the tools to conquer every challenge. Stay dialed in with us on social at Devlin Worldwide. And guys, keep charging ahead, nurturing your relationships, and never compromising on your most important dedications. Until next time, this is Andrew and Janelle Devlin signing off, reminding you that love plus money can equal the freedom to live your best, most purpose-filled life.
This has been a production from a podcast studio.